A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been thinking about Reddit, specifically the tension between how wonderful it is that there's a community for literally every obscure interest on Earth, and how it's also famous for being genuinely vicious. The question is, how has Reddit actually evolved over the years to deal with harassment and toxicity? And what approaches have platforms tried to let people be anonymous and safe without getting dogpiled the moment they say something wrong? There's a lot here.
And I think the first thing to get out of the way is that the standard diagnosis, anonymity is the problem, has been the lazy take for about 15 years now. It's not wrong exactly, but it's like saying the problem with highways is that cars move fast. It misses the entire design of the road.
The guardrails, the merge lanes, the fact that New Jersey exists.
The fact that New Jersey exists? Exactly. And Reddit's architecture is fascinating because it's essentially a federated system of miniature governments that all share the same constitution but interpret it completely differently. You've got something like 50 million daily active users across, at last count, over 3 million subreddits. That's not one community, that's a civilization.
A civilization with some very angry city councils.
And the evolution of how they've tried to manage this has been, honestly, one of the more interesting experiments in platform governance. Let me start with the early days, because the baseline matters. Reddit launched in 2005. For years, the philosophy was essentially libertarian absolutism. The upvote-downvote mechanism was supposed to be the only moderation tool. The community would self-police. Bad content gets downvoted into oblivion. Good content rises. The founders, Alexis Ohanian and Steve Huffman, talked about this constantly, free speech as the paramount value.
Which works brilliantly until someone figures out that a coordinated group of 50 people can make anything look like the community consensus.
That's exactly the failure mode. And it didn't take long. By 2011, 2012, you had subreddits dedicated to things that were horrifying. Doxing, non-consensual images, organized harassment campaigns that would spill out onto other platforms. The infamous ones, and I won't name them, became national news stories, and Reddit's leadership at the time basically shrugged and said, "This is the cost of free expression."
The digital equivalent of, well, that's just how Uncle Gary gets after three beers.
A surprisingly apt comparison. And what changed everything, the real inflection point, was 2014 to 2015. You had the Gamergate harassment campaign, which used Reddit as a staging ground. You had the celebrity photo leaks, which were hosted and distributed through Reddit. Advertisers started getting nervous. Ellen Powell became interim CEO in 2014 and tried to push through anti-harassment policies, and the user base revolted. She was driven out.
I remember that period. The site felt like a libertarian think tank that had been set on fire.
Then Steve Huffman returned as CEO in 2015, and he did something that I think is underappreciated in platform governance history. He didn't announce a grand new policy. He started quietly building infrastructure. The first major move was the content policy update in 2015 that explicitly banned harassment, and then they built the tooling to actually enforce it. Automated filters, improved reporting workflows, the ability for moderators to collaborate and share banned lists.
The shift wasn't philosophical, it was operational.
And that's what most coverage gets wrong. Everyone wants to talk about the speech debate, but the real story is that Reddit realized the upvote-downvote mechanism was never going to be a moderation system. It's a curation system. Those are different things. Curation surfaces what's popular. Moderation removes what's harmful. Conflating the two was the original sin.
They essentially built a parallel governance layer on top of the voting mechanism.
And the key insight was that they didn't try to moderate Reddit from the top down. They built tools that let moderators do it themselves, and then layered on admin enforcement for the cases that moderators couldn't or wouldn't handle. It's a distributed model, and it's imperfect, but it's the only thing that scales to 3 million subreddits.
What actually changed in the tooling? Because improve reporting is the kind of phrase that shows up in a press release and means nothing.
A few concrete things. They introduced the AutoMod system, which lets moderators write custom rules that trigger on keywords, account age, karma thresholds, domain blacklists. That was huge. They built out the mod queue with better prioritization, so moderators weren't just staring at a fire hose. They introduced crowd control features that automatically collapse comments from users who aren't regulars in a particular subreddit. And then, more recently, they launched the harassment filter, which is a machine learning system that scans for probable harassment and flags it before it's even reported.
The pre-crime unit of internet moderation.
It does have a slight Minority Report quality to it, yeah. But the accuracy rates are surprisingly good. According to Reddit's transparency reports, the harassment filter caught something like 68% of policy-violating content before any user reported it in 2025. That's up from around 40% when they first launched it.
The false positive rate?
They claim under 2%. I'm skeptical of self-reported numbers on that front, but even if it's double that, it's still workable for a system that's meant to flag, not auto-remove.
The machine is doing triage, and humans are making the final call.
In most cases, yes. But here's where it gets interesting, and where the anonymity question comes back in. Because Reddit has tried a bunch of different approaches to the specific problem of anonymous harassment, and they've landed on something that I think is novel. They didn't remove anonymity. They made reputation matter without requiring real names. The karma system has always existed, but it used to be basically cosmetic. A big number next to your name. Over the last 5 or 6 years, Reddit has made karma and account age into functional gatekeeping mechanisms. Many subreddits won't let you post or comment unless your account is at least 30 days old and you have a minimum amount of karma. Some set the threshold at 100, some at 1,000. And the threshold isn't displayed to users. You just get your comment silently removed if you don't meet it.
Which means a harasser can't just create a new account and immediately jump back in.
It's not a perfect solution. Dedicated trolls farm karma on cat picture subreddits and then pivot to harassment. But it raises the cost. It introduces friction. And friction, in moderation design, is everything. The goal isn't to make harassment impossible. It's to make it annoying enough that most people don't bother.
Like putting a club on your steering wheel. A determined thief can still get through it, but the guy looking for an easy grab moves on to the next car.
And Reddit has layered on additional friction points, rate limiting on comments for new accounts. Shadow banning, where the user thinks they're posting but nobody else can see them. That's been around for years, but they've gotten much more sophisticated about when and how they apply it. They introduced a feature called safety mode that lets users auto-block people who aren't in their trusted circles for a set period.
The shadow ban is a weird thing, philosophically. It's essentially gaslighting the harasser.
And there's a real debate about whether that's ethical. The argument for it is that if you tell someone they're banned, they immediately create a new account and continue. If they don't know they're banned, they keep shouting into the void and the void doesn't shout back. The argument against it is that it's deceptive, and it can catch innocent users who don't understand why nobody's responding to them.
I lean toward the void shouting solution, honestly. If someone's goal is to make another person feel terrible, uncomfortable with them wasting their own time instead.
I think that's where most people land, but it's worth acknowledging the trade-off. And it connects to something bigger that's happened across platforms, not just Reddit. There's been a shift from reactive moderation, someone reports, we review, to what researchers call safety by design. Building the protective features into the architecture rather than adding them after the fact.
Give me an example of safety by design on Reddit.
The big one is the community discovery flow. When you create a new account now, Reddit doesn't just drop you into the front page fire hose. It asks you to select interests. It suggests communities. It gives you a curated onboarding that steers you toward well-moderated spaces. That's not just a user experience decision, it's a safety decision. It means new users land in places where norms are already established and enforced, rather than wandering into the unmoderated wilds.
They're front-loading the good neighborhoods.
And they've also introduced something called community karma, which is karma earned within a specific subreddit separate from your global karma. So a moderator can see that you've got 10,000 karma from posting memes, but zero from their serious discussion community, and set different permissions accordingly.
That's clever. It means you can't just be Reddit famous, you have to be locally trusted.
Which is exactly how real-world reputation works. I'm a retired pediatrician. My reputation in medical circles doesn't automatically transfer to, say, archery competitions. I have to earn trust in each context.
Although I'd argue your archery reputation is more intimidating.
You're making fun of me, but I did hit 3 bullseyes last week.
I'm sure the targets were terrified.
They were stationary and made of foam, so no. But the principle stands. And this connects to the second part of the prompt. What other approaches have platforms tried to allow anonymity while maintaining safety?
Because Reddit isn't the only one grappling with this.
Far from it. And the approaches vary wildly. Let me run through a few. The most extreme is the real names only policy, which Facebook championed for years. The theory is that if people have to use their legal names, they'll behave better because there are real-world consequences. The problem is that it doesn't actually work that way. Study after study has shown that real name policies don't significantly reduce harassment, and they disproportionately harm people who have legitimate reasons for anonymity. Whistleblowers, abuse survivors, LGBTQ people in hostile environments, political dissidents.
It turns out plenty of people are perfectly comfortable being terrible under their real names.
The Mark from Accounting problem. Real name policies solve the wrong problem. They assume the issue is identifiability, when the issue is accountability. Those are not the same thing.
What's the alternative?
There are a few models. The one I find most interesting is what some researchers call pseudonymous persistence. You don't use your real name, but you do have a stable identity over time. Your reputation accrues to that identity. People can form relationships with it. If you burn that identity, you lose everything you built. Reddit's karma system is a form of this. So is the handle system on Twitter, or usernames on basically every platform.
The difference being that on Reddit, you can create a new account in 30 seconds, whereas on something like Twitter, building a following from scratch is a real cost.
And that's why the account age and karma thresholds matter so much. They artificially increase the cost of a new identity. It's not a perfect solution, but it's a functional one. Another model is what Discord does with server-level moderation. Each server is an independent community with its own rules, its own moderators, its own culture. The platform provides the tools, but doesn't try to enforce a universal standard. It's very similar to Reddit's subreddit model, actually.
Discord has the additional layer of real-time interaction, which makes moderation harder in some ways and easier in others.
Harder because you can't pre-screen messages the way you can with a comment. Easier because the community is usually smaller and more cohesive. A Discord server with 500 active members is fundamentally different from a subreddit with 5 million.
What about the approach where platforms just don't moderate at all? The so-called free speech absolutist platforms.
We've seen how that plays out. Parler, Gab, Truth Social. They launch with a commitment to unrestricted speech, and within months, they're overrun with the most toxic content imaginable. The moderate users leave because nobody wants to have a normal conversation surrounded by that. What's left is a monoculture of extremism. It's not a viable model for a general-purpose platform.
The tragedy of the unmoderated commons.
And it's worth noting that even these platforms eventually introduce moderation. They just do it quietly because their brand is built on not doing it. Truth Social has content policies now. They ban people. They just don't advertise it.
The lesson seems to be that moderation is inevitable. The only question is whether you design it intentionally or back into it haphazardly.
And I think Reddit's evolution is instructive because they did both. They started with the haphazard approach, realized it was failing, and then spent a decade building intentional systems. They're not done, no platform is, but the trajectory is real.
There's something else I want to dig into, which is the cultural dimension. Because tools and policies are one thing, but Reddit also has this weird internal culture where certain behaviors are enforced socially, not algorithmically.
The unwritten rules. And this is where Reddit is unique. Every subreddit has its own norms, its own in-jokes, its own enforcement mechanisms that have nothing to do with the official rules. In some communities, if you post a low-effort comment, you'll get downvoted into negative triple digits, and someone will reply with a GIF that communicates universal contempt. That's not moderation, that's culture.
The Glockenspiel of community disapproval.
I have no idea what that means.
Neither do I, but I'm committed to it now.
The point is, culture does a lot of the work that formal moderation can't, and Reddit's structure, the subreddit system, is uniquely good at fostering distinct cultures. A subreddit about knitting has completely different norms from a subreddit about competitive gaming, and users learn to navigate those differences. They code switch. It's actually a pretty sophisticated social skill.
Though code switching assumes the user knows they're in a different context. The problem is, when someone brings gaming energy into the knitting subreddit,
that happens constantly. It's one of the biggest sources of conflict on the platform. New users who don't understand that different spaces have different expectations. The solution has been, increasingly, explicit norm setting. Subreddits with detailed rules, pinned posts explaining expectations, automatic welcome messages to new members. It's onboarding, essentially, teaching people how to be in a specific community.
Which circles back to what you said about the new user flow steering people to well-moderated spaces.
Reddit has realized that you can't just assume people know how to behave. You have to teach them. And the communities that do this well are dramatically healthier than the ones that don't.
What about the anti-harassment features from the user side? If I'm someone who's being targeted, what can I actually do?
Reddit has built out a pretty comprehensive set of tools. You can block users, which prevents them from seeing your posts and prevents you from seeing theirs. You can disable inbox replies on specific comments, which is useful if a particular post is attracting attention you don't want. You can turn off followers entirely. There's the safety mode I mentioned. And in 2024, they introduced something called predictive blocking. If the system detects that a user who has harassed you on one account is likely operating a new account, it can proactively block that account from interacting with you.
That's the harassment filter applied at the individual level.
And the accuracy on that is lower because it's a harder technical problem, but it's directionally promising. The bigger challenge is coordinated harassment. When a group decides to target someone, individual blocking tools don't scale. You can't block 100 accounts fast enough.
The swarm problem.
And Reddit's approach to that has been, frankly, uneven. They've gotten better at detecting brigading, when users from one subreddit coordinate to attack another, but it's an arms race. The attackers adapt. The most effective defense has turned out to be rapid admin intervention. If a coordinated harassment campaign is detected, Reddit can now suspend the involved accounts and remove the content within hours, sometimes minutes. But that requires the victim to be noticed by the admin team, which doesn't always happen.
The system works well when it works, but there's a visibility gap.
And that's a persistent problem. High-profile users get rapid response. Ordinary users may wait days or never get a response at all. Reddit has tried to address this with improved reporting workflows and better prioritization, but it's not solved.
Let me ask you something that's been in the back of my mind through all of this. Is the goal actually to make Reddit nice?
I don't think so. I think the goal is to make Reddit functional. There's a difference between a space that's aggressively polite and a space where you can have a genuine argument without getting doxxed. Reddit is never going to be a warm, nurturing environment across the board, and honestly, I don't think it should be. Some of the best discussions on the platform are contentious. Heated disagreement is not the same thing as harassment.
The line isn't between nice and mean. It's between conflict and abuse.
Conflict is people disagreeing about ideas. Abuse is people attacking other people. The moderation systems are designed to suppress abuse, not to suppress disagreement, at least in theory. In practice, the line gets blurry. Moderators are human. They have biases. Some subreddits absolutely do suppress legitimate disagreement under the guise of enforcing civility.
That's the distributed governance problem again. The platform sets the constitution, but the city councils interpret it.
With all the inconsistency that implies. Some subreddits are models of thoughtful moderation, others are petty tyrannies. And Reddit's leadership has generally taken the position that as long as a subreddit isn't violating the site-wide content policy, they won't intervene in internal moderation decisions.
Which is probably the right call, even when it produces bad outcomes in specific cases. The alternative is a centralized moderation authority that can override any subreddit's decisions, and that's a whole different set of problems.
The benevolent dictator model, which works great until the dictator stops being benevolent.
Or until the dictator has to make 10,000 decisions a day and burns out in 6 months.
Moderation at scale is exhausting. One of the things Reddit has done that I think is smart is the moderator community building. They have a mod council, they have mod summits, they have resources and training and support networks. Because keeping moderators from burning out is actually one of the most important things a platform can do for long-term health.
The moderator as endangered species.
And their volunteers. These are people spending hours a day keeping communities functional for free. The psychological toll is significant. Moderators are exposed to the worst content on the platform. They get harassed. They get threatened. Reddit has gotten better at providing support, but it's still a fundamentally difficult role.
I'm reminded of something you said earlier about the shift from reactive to proactive moderation. It strikes me that the real evolution here isn't any single tool or policy. It's the recognition that moderation is design work. It's not janitorial.
That's exactly the shift. For years, moderation was treated as cleanup, something you did after the mess was made. The modern approach treats it as infrastructure. You design the space to minimize the mess in the first place. You build the guardrails into the road, rather than just towing the wrecked cars.
Covering the covers. You don't just clean up. You design the system so the mess is harder to make.
And that's where the research is heading. There's a whole field now called procedural rhetoric in platform design. How the structure of a platform teaches users what behavior is expected. The way you design the reply button, the way you surface or hide certain content, the friction you introduce at different points, all of it communicates norms.
The interface is a moral argument.
And most users never notice it, which is the point. Good design is invisible. You don't notice the guardrail until you need it.
Let me pull on one more thread before we wrap up. The prompt mentioned that anonymity is helpful or necessary in some contexts. I think that's worth acknowledging explicitly, because the conversation about anonymity often frames it as a problem to be solved, but it's also a vital protective tool.
Anonymity is essential for whistleblowers. For people discussing health conditions they don't want associated with their real names, for political dissidents, for people exploring aspects of their identity they're not ready to share publicly. Removing anonymity doesn't just remove the bad behavior, it removes the good behavior that requires protection.
The support group for a stigmatized condition doesn't work if everyone has to use their real name.
And Reddit has been home to some of the most important support communities on the internet precisely because of pseudonymity. The addiction recovery subreddits, the mental health communities, the spaces for people dealing with trauma. These exist because people can participate without exposing themselves to real-world consequences.
The design challenges. How do you preserve the protective function of anonymity while limiting its use as a shield for abuse?
That's the entire game. And I think Reddit's answer, pseudonymous persistence with reputation mechanics, is the best approach anyone has found so far. It's not perfect, but it acknowledges that the problem isn't anonymity itself, it's impunity. And those are different things.
Anonymity without impunity. That's the target.
And the way you get there is by making identities cost something, not in dollars, but in time and reputation. An account that took months to build, with a history of contributions people value, is an identity people are reluctant to lose. That creates accountability without requiring identifiability.
The final question, then, is it working?
The data is mixed. Reddit's own transparency reports show a steady decline in policy-violating content as a percentage of total content. But total content has grown so much that the absolute numbers are still staggering. And user surveys consistently show that harassment remains a significant problem. A Pew Research study from 2024 found that about 4 in 10 Reddit users reported experiencing harassment on the platform, which is actually slightly higher than other major platforms.
The tools are improving, but the experience isn't necessarily getting better.
And that might be because expectations are rising. What counted as normal internet behavior in 2010 is considered harassment today. The Overton window on acceptable online conduct has shifted, so the platform is getting cleaner, but users are also getting more demanding about what clean means.
Which is probably healthy, actually. The fact that we're less tolerant of casual cruelty is a good thing.
But it means the platforms are chasing a moving target, and they'll never be done.
I think we've covered the architecture, the tools, the culture, the philosophy. Any closing thought?
Just that the conversation about online safety often gets framed as a trade-off between safety and freedom. And I think Reddit's evolution shows that's a false choice. The platforms that invest in thoughtful moderation design end up with more freedom, not less, because people are free to participate in ways they wouldn't if the space were lawless. A well-moderated subreddit has more diverse voices, more substantive debate, more genuine community than an unmoderated free-for-all. Safety enables freedom. It doesn't constrain it.
That's a good note. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1960s, entomologists studying ant colonies on the Kuril Islands discovered that the alarm pheromone undecane is chemically indistinguishable from the compound released by certain local orchids to attract pollinators, meaning the same molecule that sends ants into defensive frenzy also convinces bees to visit a flower.
Somewhere in the Kuril Islands, a bee is having a very confusing day.
Ant panic and floral seduction, same chemical. Nature is deeply weird.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flemingtop. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review. It helps.
See you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.